Welcome to another episode of The Blue Crew. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friends, Avery Zaretsky and Cody Frankel. The boys are on a heater. The vibes are super high. Rangers have won four games in a row on this Western Canada road trip. The game in Vancouver on Saturday night was unfucking real. But before I go any further, boys, how you doing?
Johnny, don't ever do that again.
I usually say you first, right, Cody? I was like, that didn't sound natural.
But also punctuation. I love you, Apes. What's up, fellas?
We back. Dude, the Rangers are popping right now.
Bro. Dude, they're vibing.
They buzzing.
They're fucking vibe.
Did you guys watch the game Saturday night? I missed the first period, but saw the second and third.
No, I did not.
I saw, against the Canucks, I saw period one and three.
Wait, Avery, you didn't watch?
No, I was out on the town with the new coworkers. Kind of felt like I had to, you know, get out there.
Well, you were tweeting in all caps.
Are sending me updates, and I'm seeing it on Twitter. Listen,
what'd you guys do?
Ultimate confession: I don't watch every Ranger game. Got me.
You're a phony like that, though. You're tweeting all caps. You're not even watching.
No, this is totally gonna be a clip out, and I know Johnny's gonna try to.
Dude, Johnny is such a little weasel because Johnny does this, right. He'll like press you, and then this week on like Tuesday, by the time this episode comes out tomorrow night, he'll be sending pictures like at an outdoor bar and be like, and then he'll be tweeting about the fucking Rangers.
If you ask,
but I'm watching the game.
You're not watching the game. You're asking me for updates in your pocket.
If you ask 15-year-old Avery, do you watch all 82?
Yeah.
25-year-old Avery? No. But I'm still on my phone, like looking, like I'm not watching.
I wasn't judging.
Yeah, no, you were judging.
But
Cody,
when you're tweeting in all caps, Cody. I'm like, oh, he's watching.
No, he was a little.
Cody, he was judging
a little. But wait. Let me ask you guys, I feel like
I've been fooled a bit.
The people who are listening don't really care though. But confession, I don't watch every game.
Okay, let me ask you guys something. Do you associate hardcore fans with how many games they watch?
No, not at all.
I think it depends on. I honestly think it depends on like just like knowing who and where the team is at, like who's on the team, like where the team's at specifically. But like, as long as you're staying up with it, you can't really be judged based on like your fandom. I mean, listen, I think as you get older, you kind of start to learn that the players. It's not that they don't necessarily care like as much as we do, but at the same time, it's like your perspective on hockey changes a little bit. Like when you're younger, like it's all you really care about, and you know you have so much more time to care about it. But as you get older, you get a job and stuff. Like it becomes harder to sit down every night and watch a game, especially on this West Coast trip. Like this is a fair excuse with these late games. If you can't watch them and you're still staying up to date on like the scores and whatnot, it's fine. I'm not giving anybody crap about that.
Yeah, I said it last week. I fell asleep in the third period during the Kraken game.
Yeah, I actually think I did give you crap for that. So.
Yeah, you did.
I watched the whole Kraken game. I fell asleep during the Oilers game because we had a nice lead. Okay, first and foremost, am I crazy or was that game supposed to start at 9 o'clock? Because I swear it started at like 9:50.
There was a delay.
Dude, what the hell? The Oilers game?
Yeah, there was a delay.
Yeah, it was supposed to start at 9.
Oh my God, dude. I was like feeding Griffin and then all of a sudden I was like, this game isn't started yet. And so I fell asleep during that game. Canucks game I watched.
Are we all just like confessing right now?
Yeah. Kraken game. That was 10 o'clock game, right?
Yeah.
That game I watched a period. And then the Flames game, I watched the whole game.
Avery just said it, but literally no one listening right now gives a fuck.
But you know what else? How many games do you think you watch in a season on average?
Are you asking me personally?
Yeah, both of you. Yeah.
I would say I watch at least 66 of 82.
I was going to say in the 60 range for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That number will probably keep going down. Not 60.
I'm probably, I can't really speak to this. Actually, I've been great this year. I've watched, how many games have we played? 8?
Yeah.
I've watched 6.5 out of 8 games.
Well, now you have like a kid. Now you have a kid, so like you're not going out as much anymore. So that kind of makes.
Yeah, dude. But I'm on a cycle. I'm on a life cycle, and when I could sleep, I need to sleep, bro.
But Cody's,
I was up from 2 a.m.
Cody's a big brunch guy, and the Rangers haven't had an afternoon game yet.
They will soon. Isn't there a 4 o'clock game coming up against Ottawa? No, or Detroit. I think the Rangers have two TNT Detroit games coming up. I think home and home. and one of them's a 4 o'clock.
The Rangers' first afternoon game is Friday, November 24th at 1 p.m., and then they play actually that next day, Saturday at 1 p.m. as well. So it's back-to-back 1 p.m.
Yo, game. What's going on?
You're the only one with bad connection, I think, brother.
Yeah, your connection sucks.
Yo, you guys both just – I was good, and I was talking. You guys both just started spinning.
Yeah, that's got to be a you problem, brother.
Yeah. Well, actually, it probably is a me problem because the weather here is fucking terrible, and my YouTube TV – like watching that Jets Giants game, subtle brag, suck it, Avery.
Subtle brag. That was the worst football game I've ever watched.
Doesn't matter, bro. No, yeah, it was honestly abysmal.
No, win's a win. That was really tough as a Giants fan to watch. But it, you know,
the last 24 seconds of the game into overtime was better than the entire first 59 minutes and 36 seconds. But yeah, the YouTube TV was like bugging out because of the weather and just like was fucked. So
yeah, no, I did see that a lot of people are having YouTube TV problems. I'm not a big fan of the whole streaming process. I think it's ruined MSG. I think it's ruined football. But at the same time, what are you going to do? That's the new wave. But let's get into some Rangers hockey. I'm sure people have skipped ahead to this part. So if you have, You're in good luck because we're going to talk about the Rangers. They're playing great. We mentioned it before, but on all cylinders, man. Goaltending, defense, scoring. They're doing everything right, and it feels good, especially when those analytical charts come out and we're not in the red. It's nice to see, and I think that the main difference this year is that Peter Laviolette is a great mix between a player's coach and an actual coach, whereas Gallant was a very player coach centric guy. So I think they actually have a system this year, and you can see it in every game. It's exciting to watch, and I'm excited for the future for this team.
I want to ask you guys a question because I kind of tweeted about it this morning. Is it time to put the no quit New York to bed, put it to rest?
You know what? I think that, and we'll let Cody speak too, but I think that the no quit New York thing, no, I was only saying that because I was talking a lot, but the no quit New York thing is cool. And if they want to keep running with it, sure. But
it's the hat. Cody just ran and put on his no quit New York hat.
Yeah. That's why I think it's cool. And if they want to keep running with it, sure. But at the same time, it's like the only time that it really sucks is when we lose and teams just use it against us.
Cody?
Yeah. But then when we have a sick come from behind win or play really well, everybody just starts tweeting, "This team has no quit. This team has no quit." So it's kind of like
last night wasn't a no quit. Like people were doing it last night against Vancouver, and it wasn't like the same kind of vibe at all.
My only thing with no quit New York is I associate it way too much with that team 2 years ago.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too, because that team had essentially no business being as far as they
were. Until they quit.
Right.
but that's where it all stemmed from. Like, they were the underdog every single step of the way. That's why there was, like, the no-quit New York mentality. Yeah. But they're not underdogs anymore, so it doesn't really make sense. Like, to me, you know, I said bend, don't break, right? Because the expectation under Laviolette now is to go out and perform and compete for 60 minutes. And there's going to be moments where you look weak and moments where the other team takes over, which they did last night in the third period when, you know, Foxy turns that puck over, Tyler Myers scores in the 2-on-1 shorthanded, and then Vancouver dominated for like the next 3 minutes. But the Rangers, you know, draw a penalty. It was too many men on Vancouver. Their power play steps up again. The power play has scored in every single game besides the game, I believe, against the Kraken. I think that's the only game they didn't score in. But right now the Rangers power play is second in the league at 34.5%. And that's a huge thing, too, is that the power play continued
after going 0-for-22 in the preseason.
Yeah, pathetic. And let's throw preseason out the window. Yeah, I don't think they put a power play goal in the preseason.
0-for-22.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Also, it was nice to get a call our way for once.
I was going to ask that next.
Yeah, I mean, it was clearly a trip, but I think at the end of the day, miscall. Okay, I mean, even if it wasn't, like, miscalls happen, I think it was close enough where they were just like, game's over.
Well, they also didn't call the one on Trocheck like 2 minutes before that. Like there was a blatant trip in the neutral zone that Trocheck got clipped and they let it go. So, yeah.
Well, Pat McAfee made a great point last week or whenever it was. He was talking about how hockey's the only sport where refs actually give makeup calls, and if they know that they miss one, they're going to give another one to another team. So, I mean, who knows? But at the same time, people complain, like, it happens to us. It happens to, it's an imperfect game in terms of how it can be officiated. It's so fast. You just can't, you can micromanage it on the film. It's the same thing like in football. If a quarterback is like dinking and dunking and you're like, why are they throwing it so short? Why are they throwing it so short? It's like, well, yeah, you can see it on the TV, but on the field, the quarterback, that might look a lot longer than it is to us that are actually watching on the TV. So it's easy to say things when you're watching it at home, but on the ice.
It is so funny though, how different the narrative would be if, like, you know, they call it a trip or whatever and the Canucks score and it's like,
yeah,
fucking ref. Fuck,
that would be snow glasses.
Yeah. Like, it's just how it goes. And that's why, what?
No. Finish what you were saying. I'm done. Oh, I was just going to say, do you know who the leading GAA in the NHL is right now?
Jonathan Quick.
Yep. 0.41.
He's a beast. Yep.
Stud.
AKA preseason means nothing. All right. So I have a question for you guys. So 8 games in, who is your to date superstar, rising star, underrated star? And got to do better, bro.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, superstar is clear.
Yep.
Brett.
Panarin, we all agree. Yeah, all right.
Easy.
Remember when you said you wanted to trade him, Johnny? That was cool. All right, next. You said you're not attached to him and you'd kill him, a.k.a.
Oh, in the Fuck Hail Mary or the pass shoot score.
We'll never forget that.
Yeah.
This pod will never forget
that.
It's
on video, too.
It was over Mika and Kreider, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just loyalty wise, you know.
You're gonna want to run that one back.
You don't want to double down or anything,
not,
right?
Not player wise. Okay. What was the next one? It was rising.
Rising star.
Does Keandre still count or no?
Absolutely.
I mean, obviously he scores that, you know, overtime winner last night, but I think he has like 5 points so far in 8 games. Like, guy's producing. Not getting a lot of power play looks. And, you know, I think he's taken a step every single year. He continues to progress. Like, last year, doubled his points total, you know, went from 20 to 43. And this year, doing it again, comes up clutch in overtime. And, you know, I think he's had some games where he hasn't been as strong. Which game was it where he was pretty bad, actually? I think it was the first game on the road trip or the second game on the road trip. I didn't think he was very good. But Keandre, to me, I think he's always the rising star until he gets the recognition around the league that he deserves.
Okay. Underrated star.
Well, you guys going to give an answer for rising star?
No, I mean, it's so tough, right? Because rising, you always want to think about like rookie wise, but.
Well, we only got one, so.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, like, I guess you can say.
Or laugh, maybe? Would laugh count?
Yeah, no, that's who I was thinking. But I also, this is going to sound crazy, but I also have loved Nick Bonino's game. It's tough to say rising because he's an older guy, but I've loved his game. Yeah. He's great on the penalty kill. Obviously, his offensive upside isn't there. But we aren't asking that from him. Like, he's just doing what he needs to do out there. I like his game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Cody? That's solid. Yeah, I actually agree with you, Johnny. I was thinking Key as well. I think he's, you know, I love the guy. I want him to be a Ranger for life. I think he's awesome. And all right, so how about underrated star?
Jacob Trouba.
I'm going to start.
Oh, sorry.
Jacob, ooh, okay.
I was
going to
say
Trouba.
You have not heard his name on either side of the good and bad this year, which is a great thing for a defenseman, in my opinion. Like, listen, the contract situation isn't the greatest thing in the world, but at the end of the day, he's our captain, and he's playing great. He's playing sound defense. There hasn't been any complaints. I hope I'm not jinxing him, but we will see. I love the way Jacob Trouba's playing hockey right now.
I love it. I'm going to go with somebody that probably Johnny won't say either. I'm going to go with Filip Hedl.
I was actually that's who I had.
Well, my stat lines and knowledge drop is more important. So he has 6 apples in 8 games, 0 goals. You know the goals are going to come. He has a 6 shot. He's, you know, he had 22 goals, 23 goals last year. I think he's played a really, really sound and, you know, some tough hockey. He's doing better at draws as well. And, you know, I think he's really fitting nicely in his line. And I think that, the goals are going to come. And I have been very, very impressed with his game so far in the first 8 games.
All right. Well, since you said Hedl, I'll go with my second one, which is a guy that got a lot of criticism. No.
What?
No. Okay. A guy who got a lot of criticism for his defensive play. and leads the fucking team in plus minus at plus six, and that's Erik Gustafsson, the motherfucking Gus Bus. 4 points in 8 games, 2 goals, 2 assists. He's looked great, I think, early on, and he's, you know, an unbelievable offseason signing. And I think he's got, he's actually, I wouldn't say he's so underrated though, because he is getting a lot of praise. And I think a lot of fans and, you know, obviously the broadcast team has recognized his strong play. But Erik Gustafsson, I mean, what a signing. Like, third pair, like running the second unit.
I love,
yeah.
Great.
Right?
He's been great.
And the fact that he's leading the team right now in plus minus, and I know it's not the most important stat, but it just goes to show, like, you know, maybe he isn't that weak defensively. That was his biggest, you know, critique coming into the season.
Yeah, I love that. I think, like, and the Hedl pick too is so great because, you know, he was on the third line for his career, and then he takes this huge jump this year, and he's obviously with Panarin, who's a superstar, but at the same time, it's like, it's a big career move to go from third line to second line, getting those top 6 minutes, and he's performing so well, so it's great.
Okay, and now, lastly, got to do better, bro, besides Blake Wheeler.
I think we're all going to have the same answer on this one. Actually, maybe not.
Are we all going to say Kako?
No.
Are we all going to say Schneider?
Nope.
Okay, then who
I'm
are we
going to
say?
I'm trying to think. I mean, Wheeler's the obvious one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to say Cooley?
You're glitching out, Code. But
are you going to say Cooley?
No, I'm just going to say it. It's Barclay Goodrow, okay. Man. Guy's making 3.5 sheets. And listen, I don't really know where the team's expectations are for him. And at the end of the day, I want everybody to play great, but it's just not – it's not where we need it to be, especially for what he's making right now. And I hate to be the micromanaging guy. It's really early in the season, but you did bring this up. So I got to give you an answer, and it's Barclay Goodrow. He's just got to play better. And I think he will. I do.
Is it so? Okay. This is like a trick answer because without him, we don't play that well, but I'm going to say Ryan Lindgren. I don't think he's played as good as he can. You know, he's 7 games, 0 points, minus two. You know, and he's definitely had some stretches of, you know, his toughness. He's blocking shots. He's limping out of the way 3 times a game. But, you know, I think there's another level of his game that we know he can play, and he hasn't gotten there yet. It's still obviously early in the season, but he'd actually be my guy who I think he needs to step it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's a bold one, and I think it's going to be unpopular with a lot of people, but I agree with you. I do think that he can give a lot more.
And I'll say Kako. Just because of the preseason he had, I thought he was insanely confident.
70 points.
Huh? I didn't say 70. 60. But he's got 2 in 8 games and only has 11 shots on goal. Like, what are we doing here? You know, he's on the first line. He's getting the opportunity. I know Mika hasn't been able to score. He got his first goal last night against Vancouver. But, like, you know, there's no excuses for lack of production anymore, right? Like, the chances are there.
So, Johnny, so you've been a big advocate for Kako and, you know, have really hoped and, you know, that he's going to get there this year, right? So, how many more games do you give this guy, would you say? I know they started to tinker a little bit, but keeping him on line one, you know, how many more games would you kind of give that before you start to? Because you don't want to mess up a good thing, right? The Rangers are grooving right now. Like, you know, Mika's producing, right? Kreider's producing. Kako happens to be the one not producing. So you don't really want to mess up a good thing. But at the same time, if you have other guys who are running with the opportunity and producing more, like, they do deserve a look. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, but Mika and Kreider are producing mostly on the power play.
True. Which is most of the time when Kreider produces. So
yeah, but my thing is, like, who are you putting on that line instead of Kako right now? You're not going to bump Lafreniere up. Like, that line's been incredible. 72, 10, and 13. Like, who are you putting there? Like, is it Wheeler?
Patrick Kane.
No, but I mean, you know, that's definitely a possibility.
Yeah,
100%. But
could give Wheeler a look.
But right now, yeah, who are you really moving? You know, I think,
I mean, you could give Wheeler a look. I don't know.
I said that last episode, and I think, you know, people didn't love that take, and that's fine. Like, it was, you know, more so hypothetical. If you want to get Wheeler going, like, you got to put him up with the big boys maybe for a game or two just to, you know, get his confidence up a little bit. But yeah, I don't know who you're putting there instead of Kako. I think that line's been fine. I think they could be better. But I don't know who you're replacing Kaká with on the first line right now.
I'll tell you what. If the team keeps playing on this trajectory, Patrick Kane will be in New York 100%.
Yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. I agree.
Wait, I have two more things I want to talk about real quick.
Okay.
Number one is alternate jerseys leaked. What do you guys think about
them?
Oh,
good question.
I think that's one of the fan questions. But yeah, we can talk about it now. Avery, you
I tweeted about it, but I love them. I think that what people expect and want is a lot of the old retro stuff, and they did that with the reverse retros. But at the same time, like, they're not going to do exact replicas. I don't know if it's because of rights issues or whatnot, but it was very different back then when they were making jerseys. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's funny. I was in the Delta Club, I forget after what game one time, but I was wearing a Brian Leach Liberty jersey. And Neil Smith was in the club, and he came up to me and was like, he was like, love the jersey. It's such a timeless classic. He's like talking to me. And then he's like, I actually helped design this jersey. It was like a special thing. And we were talking about it. Mm. And he just kind of made it seem like that they might just never go back to it because of like a rights thing. But at the end of the day, we're talking about the new ones. I think they're great because they're simple. They're not too flashy. They didn't try too hard to make it like the Stadium Series ones. The Yankees ones were horrible. Like, they just didn't look good. The lettering didn't look good.
I didn't hate those.
Oh no.
Do you think they're going to do new jerseys for this year's Stadium Series too? In addition to that,
I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be. This could just be the Stadium Series jersey. They haven't really, obviously haven't announced it. But at the end of the day, when you look at jerseys without the full uniform, you're going to be objective to it because it just doesn't look right. But once you see the Rangers in the full uniform with the navy helmets, the navy socks, like, it's going to look sick.
I liked it. I personally liked it. I didn't mind that they had the Ranger logo on the front. I kind of like that, and I love the side patch of the, you know, the streak. I thought it was pretty cool. I hope they drop some like merch. You know how they did with the reverse retro and like all that stuff. So I hope they do drop some cool merch. But yeah, I'm curious if they're gonna proceed with the Stadium Series like that, or they're gonna, you know, drop either new or vintage look. So
I didn't love them.
I know you tweeted it. We know.
I didn't tweet anything about it. But they remind me a lot.
You're just tweeting 24/7.
I do tweet a lot, but they remind me a lot of those like Dallas Stars jerseys, like those neon one, the black.
Oh,
like,
no, they don't.
That was the kind of vibe I was getting from them.
But they're not flashy at all. Dude.
Bro. You don't think they're flashy at all?
No, the navy's such a dull color, and yeah, they got the little stripes.
The
but
sleeve,
not,
yeah, the sleeve is what makes it like poppy and flashy.
Fine. I think everybody's overanalyzing it. I think it's perfect, and I also think, it's not perfect, but it's good. And I also, when was the last time the Rangers had the full logo, the full crest on the front of their jersey?
You know, it's been a while.
It's actually
I don't think it's been since the 80s or 70s.
Also, boys, it would be really funny if like this was just a bit and some fan designed those and they're like totally not real, because I feel like normally when jerseys leak, the company does or the team does damage control immediately and like announces it pretty soon. There's been no analysts, nobody's really tweeted being like, oh yeah, these are the new Rangers leaked jerseys. And I feel like normally when jerseys leak, you have analysts.
You have people confirming it. Yeah,
that happened. Yeah, so it's a little. That happened with the retros. So it's a little,
exactly. So it's a little sketchy to me. Still, I'm not completely sold that that's actually anything. But I think that would be hilarious if somebody just like trolled everybody.
I also think the Rangers just have like such a good color scheme. Like, to go away from it, kind of. That's why I don't love it. I think
I love the Citi Field ones. Those were sick.
I didn't love those either.
I love those. I love those. Oh, you're crazy,
Johnny,
you're bro.
I'm a big fan.
The best one by far was Winter Classic 2012.
Yeah, those ones I loved. That cream color. Yeah, those were sick.
I actually liked.
Johnny also just doesn't like your hoodie, Cody. So he's just being mean.
I don't like the hoodie.
All right, let's do fan questions.
He's a jerk.
I think we're good.
Okay. Last thing I'll say is I actually kind of liked the Sabres, like ours against the Sabres, more than I did the cream.
Really?
Yeah. I like 20. I was like obsessed with the 2018.
All right.
Yeah, they're good.
I did like the ones that the alternates they used to had that said like New York. Mm-hmm. Right?
All right, let's go.
Oh, the Heritage questions. One. That was the 90s anniversary.
Are you wearing a wristband right now?
No.
Oh, I thought he was wearing like a red, white, and blue, like a workout wristband.
Avery just rocking it.
Yeah, like Rex Kwando. All right, so let's go to the first question from Jamie Tatis. What's been the best surprise so far this season?
Probably Gus Bus, right?
I would say.
Or Quick.
Yeah, Quick's Quick. First two games has to be, right?
Yeah. Nah, the second line for me.
That's a good one.
The second line. They've been so good.
You didn't think a line with Panarin would be sick?
No,
I mean, you hoped
so many
sick,
different but... They've tried so many different combos with him.
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
He's
that's
always fair. Put up the points, but having Kittle and Lafreniere start the way they've started, I think that's by far been awesome. The best part.
Well, yeah. I guess to that point, Jamie had a follow up and said, "Is Lafreniere's start to the season proof that bullying works?"
Yes,
with like two laughing emojis.
Yes, yes. I love Laf.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. I'm honestly, so happy I don't have to burn my jersey.
Well, like DZ had some good points, Avery, in the last episode, just talking about like the outside noise and dealing with the media and all that stuff and how it can get to you. And you know, Laf made it clear, like in the training camp, that he heard the narrative around him. And it's great to see that it hasn't affected him or his play on the ice. And like, he hasn't denied anything or like taken anything defensively. He's just kind of going about his way and playing his game. And you see it now, the confidence is starting to come game in, game out. And I just thought hearing from Delzato last week was such a unique perspective of a young guy who came to New York with a lot of expectation and performed really well earlier in his career. And then, you know, when things started to go bad, it just like kind of, you know, affected him mentally. And you know, the fact that Lafreniere has not had that strong start, the opposite of Delzato, and is now, you know, pushing through and starting to find his game a little bit is you know, a very encouraging sign, I would say, just from what we heard last week.
Yep.
Cool.
This one from this is the jersey one. Brandman 7694. I'll just read what he said anyway. What do you think of the new jerseys they leaked? Personally, I'm not a fan. I agree with you, Brandman. Not a fan either. But I wish
that Johnny's burner.
I wish you said why. Rami Lavi, are we good?
Yeah, we are. And the chemistry is chef's kiss right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Chemistry is chef's kiss. Great point, Cody. I also just think, like, you go on a Western Conference road trip and you're one game away from sweeping it. They're legit, man.
Well, this is also exactly when the Devils got hot last year. The Devils like swept their West Coast road trip, and that's when all the hype became around them. So now I think the same thing's happening with the Rangers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it obviously is coaching. But again, like the power play has been so big for this team. It's the difference in the Vancouver game. It's the difference in most games. Like they just feed off that power play. And now that Mika scored a goal too, like they're only going
to
get rolling now, right?
It
like
has to.
Having Mika get one.
Dude, power play merchants win Stanley Cups. Like you have to be good on the power play. Why wouldn't you want to be good on it? It's the best advantage you have in hockey. It's
all right.
They need to be good at it to win.
I agree. Mike D 92, who's your MVP of the West Coast trip?
Oh, that's a good one.
Who's our MVP of the West Coast trip?
Yes.
Yeah, why are you being mad? He's still thinking, that's why. Hold on. That's a really good question.
I might go Hedl.
No.
He's been good.
I know he hasn't scored, but has he had a point in every game? I think so, right?
Yo, I'm gonna go Foxy. I thought he's been great.
I was gonna go Foxy, dude.
I think he's been really, really good.
Well, he had a really strong recovery last night after that turnover that he had.
Yeah, he has two power play goals on this trip too.
Two.
Yep.
Last night
he opened the scoring in the first and the two he opened the scoring 2 games ago. Calgary? And then he scored last
Calgary,
night.
Calgary, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Foxy has been good. Last night was huge too to bounce back after that turnover and the shorthanded goal.
Yep.
What do you guys think of that? I don't know if you saw that tweet. Everyone's talking about the French toast line, the second line, that's what the name is I see all over Twitter. I think like Ryan Mead and like those guys started it. But I tweeted the Panarin to Fox goal. Cody will, obviously, I think laugh, but Avery might not get it. Like the challah bread connection.
Dude, I'm Jewish. What the fuck?
Are you actually?
Yes.
No, no, you're not.
Yes. What kind of revelation is this? You guys have known me how
long? Are you?
Yes.
You're Jewish?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Are you fucking with that? Full?
No, yeah. You want me to start? No, no, wait, no. Sorry. Not full. No, no, no.
Who's Jewish? Your mom or your dad?
They're both Jewish, but I didn't have a bar mitzvah, so I'm not like.
Doesn't mean you're not Jewish. You're, no, still, that, Jewish.
You're still full, you stupid fuck.
I thought like if you have a bar mitzvah, that makes you like a man.
Technically, yeah. I guess.
a metaphorical man.
To show you how good, of a member of the tribe I am. But yes, I am.
That
I am
part
Jewish.
You have to leave in that bio, yeah. Johnny.
That's Dan. All right. Let's
wow,
go.
Abe.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, we had no idea.
We had no idea, dude. I thought you were like just like
Italian.
Like Bulgarian.
That's so sick that I come off that way though, but no, I'm Jewish.
Wait, Italian. I'm part Italian, Johnny. What does that have anything to do with fucking being Jewish?
You're not part Italian, are you?
Yeah.
You're 10%. Like the least Italian person I've ever seen in my life.
Arrivederci.
This is so sick that you guys are just finding out that I'm Jewish.
All right, can we go to the next one?
Yeah. You're like, oh, Avery might not get the challah bread reference.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
My B. All right, Jackknife,
dude.
Huh?
You dummy.
Yeah, my bad, Avery. I didn't mean that. Jackknife 82, agree or disagree? Kako is physical, but would have a lot more goals if he played angry or assertive. Excuse me.
Yo, sorry. You're going to have to re-ask this question, but we should change our name to the Blue Jews.
Or the Jew crew.
Oh, man, I'm dead.
The Blue Jews.
Okay. All right. I'll re-ask. Agree or disagree? Kako is physical, but would have a lot more goals if he played angry, assertive.
Yeah, I think he just needs a more dominant presence.
He doesn't play angry at all.
No. He needs to. It's funny. I almost feel like him and Lof switch roles a little bit, where Lof was really easy to like knock off the puck, and you know Kako was playing those crazy like grind it shifts, staying in, bodying people, and it's almost switched a little bit. I mean, I think Kako just needs to kind of get back to his game and play Matt.
I don't think he's playing poorly.
He's just not
standing out as much as he could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if he goes in the corners a little bit harder and starts playing that a little bit more aggressive game, I think we'll see the points start to come again. But at the end of the day, I still don't have any real true worry about Kako. But like I said, it's the 10-game test. We're still not there yet. We're close, but we're not there yet.
And Jackknife 82 had a follow-up for Avery. Would Witt, Pasha, and Grinnell accept me jumping in the Hudson for you?
I probably not. I still gotta figure that thing out, man. They're so annoying.
Is that ever gonna die? That joke, like,
no, it's never gonna die. And I can't believe Witt like actually tweeted about it. And he responded to Pasha's response to mine, and then I was like, well, all right. Here's what happened. Right, we made the bet. And Pasha does not live in New York, and he obviously has to be there to do it. A lot of things happened. He never came back, and the only time he came back was, of course, the week I moved to Miami. So now I'm down here. I'm not going to fly back on my own dime and jump in the Hudson River. Like, if I come back and Pasha's back in New York, sure, but I'm not going to move my life for it. I'm a man of my word. I'll do the bet, but it has to line up. Like, I'm not just going to go out of my way. Like, I have a new job. Like, I got stuff going on. But I will do it eventually.
Sucks. Your top priority is not to jump in the Hudson.
You might grow a third leg, dude.
Yeah. But maybe
Daniel have a bar mitzvah.
That's a bet. Right. That's a bet. I got to do it.
Yeah. Be a man of your word. Yeah, all right. Next course. One. Sammy Hockey 36.
If he had his bar mitzvah, he would be in a man.
Or you just can't get over the fact you're Jewish. All right, Sammy Hockey 36. Should Wheeler be scratched, move Vizi to the third line, and put Pitlick in the at the fourth?
No. It's been 8 games. Give Wheeler 25 games as a Ranger. He's got to, you know, I know Avery has his 10-game rule. That's fine for recurring Rangers. For somebody who just comes to a new team, who's a veteran, who's been a dominant force in this league for a really long time, give him 25 games. At 25 games, if this guy has 2 points, then we can talk. But you know, I do suspect that he'll find his game sooner or later. I think he just kind of needs to get it going, right? Like, once you light the lamp, or once you have a nice assist that, you know, the person scores, like, I think things will kind of start to click there. It might just be, it's not even jitters. I think he needs to play a little bit better. And, you know, at the same time, He was 800 grand, so who cares? We're winning.
Avery, any thought or no?
No, I think Cody said that perfectly.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to scratch Wheeler at any point. It's not like it's a make or break decision to scratch him, right?
For
like,
who?
Yeah, for Pitlick? VZ. They put VZ at the third line and put Pitlick in the lineup in the fourth line.
I mean, at the end of the day, it could just be a we're waiting for Othman type thing. Like Othman could pop in, you know, January. It all really depends on how the team's going.
Or they're waiting for Connor McDavid.
Stop. Shit. I told you.
Do you believe those rumors, by the way?
I do. No, I actually do.
Weird though that nobody else tweeted it besides that.
It was like a breaking 911 Edmonton account or something. Yeah. Right?
You do not fuck with unless it's like 110% true.
All right. I'm just gonna say that I do have a source that does know nothing to do with the Rangers, but my source does know McDavid, and he's not happy in Edmonton. He is not happy there.
Do you want us to like clip that or something?
No, don't clip that. But you can leave it in the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
McDavid is not gonna be an Oiler after his contract. Even before
when's that end though?
Huh?
Doesn't he have two more years?
Way more.
I think he's up in 2026.
Wait, yeah, that's 2 years.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny.
I thought he had way more than that. I thought it was like four.
Did you even watch Puck, bro?
I thought it was 4 years.
All right, what else do you got?
No, I think it's two.
I thought Draisaitl was 2 years.
No, McDavid's up in 2026. I'm 99% sure.
Cody, are you fact checking right now?
Yeah. McDavid is, yeah. Avery's right.
Avery's right.
26 last season as an Oiler. Yep.
When's Draisaitl?
Draisaitl is his last season is 25.
Oh, wow.
Season.
Yeah, wow. All right.
Damn. So if the Oilers don't win, you know, by next year, they're probably going to blow it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a stretch. All right. Next one from Jay McCabe, 118. Not Rangers related, but does Dan Quinn, assuming he means David Quinn, make it to the trade deadline as the Sharks head coach? The San Jose Sharks look terrible.
I could see, you know, a football guy being a hockey coach.
Dan Quinn's like a quarterback, right? Like a backup QB.
No, he was the Falcons coach for a while.
Oh, he was.
He was the guy who the Patriots beat in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, David Quinn is probably going to be the first coach fired in the NHL this year.
The Cowboys now.
I would think.
Yeah.
The Sharks are like, what, 0-8-1 or something like that? I don't know if they played that many games,
actually. I mean, honestly, dude, that poor guy, bro.
Yeah.
Was given, after the Ranger situation, Sharks gets are 0-8-1. Thrown out. And now he takes like the worst job in the league, and they trade everybody at the deadline. And now he's stuck with like an even worse team, like no future. Mm. That poor man.
Yeah.
He left such a good job at BU also. Like, he could have been there for life.
Yeah. You know what was awesome, though? And Delzato made a great point that, like, all these fucking – these guys just get jobs that are already in the league, and they don't even – they don't really – I mean, for some guys, they look elsewhere, just college and whatnot. But at some point, they got to realize Quinn's just not an NHL coach yet.
But like Cody said, he hasn't been put into the best situations, you know?
Yeah.
Like both teams eventually it's going to have to be like, we got to kick him out of the cycle and try somebody new.
Yeah. 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 No, fair point.
Yo, John, how many more do we have?
Just one.
Bang.
Okay, cool.
Everything okay? Griffin crying?
Yeah. No, I got to wrap it up.
Okay. All right. Last one. Stefan Gross. What are we going to do about the lack of 5-on-5 production with lines 1, 3, and 4? We kind of just talked about this before.
Yeah.
The team's winning hockey games. You don't have to change anything right now, but you know, obviously, the team loses like 4 or 5 in a row. That's a huge concern. And then you flop Kako with maybe Wheeler. You kind of just try to figure out the balance of the lines. Obviously, they're not touching the French toast line or whatever we're calling it. But yeah, I think it's all about mixing and matching. And you're going to leave Kreider and Mika together, right? They're not going to separate those two, I would think. And then you just got to find the right combination between Wheeler, Trocheck, Cooley, maybe call up Offman to get a spark. Like, who knows?
I can't wait for his arrival. Yeah. I've been, I mean, you know, Johnny, I've been anticipating this arrival for
since you came on the podcast. You've been talking about Offman.
Like, dude, he has been like, I don't think I've, even when we got Loff and Kako, like, I don't you think I've that. Ever been. As, I literally don't think I've been as excited for a prospect as I have for Offman. I think he's going to be unreal as a Ranger.
And to be fair, Cody did say that like 2 years ago.
I hope so.
Avery, you were going to say something?
No, I said I hope that Offman is that good.
Yeah.
So now we want to talk about something that's obviously just a little bit hard to discuss. If you don't know by now, you know, you can read about it, check the news. We're not going to talk about it in full detail because it's like a very disturbing image and whatnot. But Avery actually brought it to our attention last night about Adam Johnson out of the Nottingham Panthers organization in the EIHL. Was a part of a freak accident in the middle of their game. Took a skate to the throat and unfortunately passed away not too long after the incident happened. They stopped the game. You know, obviously people evacuated the arena. Both teams went to the locker room, and I think everyone was just kind of checking social media to get as many updates as they can last night, trying to figure out if he had made it through. And the news dropped early Sunday morning that unfortunately he did pass away. Johnson had a little bit of time in the NHL with the Pittsburgh Penguins, spent some time in the LA Kings organization, played his college hockey at Minnesota Duluth. And, you know, I think not even as hockey fans, hockey players, whatever you want to call us as human beings, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I can say from my end that I have chills running through my body, and I've tried to, you know, come to thoughts or terms about it, you know, all day today. I have some buddies who played in the USHL with him. One of my best friends, Max Coulter, played with him in the USHL, and Max Coulter's really good friend, who I won't name, actually was on the other team last night, and they spoke this morning. I spoke to Max, and you know, everyone's just like very shooken up, obviously. And the tough thing like this too, and sorry if I'm ranting, but
you're good.
You know, I think in situations like this, when there's such sad news and negativity, and obviously Matthew Perry passed away as well last night, which is super sad. One of the things you want to do is go play hockey to take your mind off stuff, right? And I think that's the hardest thing in the situation is like, that's where this guy passed away. It's like you're doing what you love and you're doing what distracts you from everything else. And you go out for a shift and everyone says you never take a shift for granted, but like, holy shit, man, has it ever hit you more than hearing about this news? Like, never take a shit for granted. I literally have been, as a player, like, fuck, man. Like, I'm like joking around on the bench, and then, you know, I go out and fucking like I'm sorry, I'm like tearing right now. The hardest thing for me to fathom is like, and I haven't watched the video and I won't watch the video, but knowing that he like felt what happened and like tried to skate off like in his own power and like knew what was happening. Like, I can't put myself in that situation. Like, I can't get my mind to that place. I just, it's so fucking sad. I can't help but think of his family, his friends, the people at the game, like everyone involved, anyone who's ever known him. It's just hockey to me. Like, we all love hockey, right? Like, it's our, and I wasn't expecting to cry, and I didn't think I'd cry, but it's just the
best. You wear your emotions on your sleeve, big guy.
You know, it's just like, Cody, you're a father now. Like, that's, you know, like,
it's terrible.
Parents are watching their kid play, you know? Like,
yeah, it's honestly, it's nightmare fuel.
Yeah,
it's awful.
I honestly have no words for it. I just like.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, prayers out to obviously him, his family, and, you know, his friends and loved ones. And, you know, we don't want to really end on a sad note, but it was definitely something that needed to, you know, be mentioned because, you know, it's important. Hockey's a community and you know, like, someone's pain is our pain, right? So it's so, you know, well said. And yeah, I mean, I don't really have anything else to add. I think you said it really nicely. And
I guess the last thing we will say is just, you know, hug your loved ones, right? And it's like always when things like this happen, it's all you can do. And, you know, just back to, I guess, obviously tough to transition out of, but back to a Rangers note, they play tonight in Winnipeg. And then they're back at home on Thursday against the Hurricanes. And, you know, it's been a really fun, and, you know, we don't want to end up on a sad note, obviously. It's been a really, you know, exciting week for Rangers fans, and they've been playing great. And the vibes are super high. Just something that you have to talk about when these things happen. And I don't know, do you want to talk about Matthew Perry? Like, obviously we're all pretty big Friends fans, but you know, obviously that's a super sad loss as well. But yeah, do you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
Take it away.
No. I mean, just, you know, on a good note, like, Rangers are playing great. Like, they just need to keep kicking ass and you know, one game at a time and find their groove, and let's keep at it and hope this is the year, right?
So. Absolutely.
All right, Cody, send it off.
LFGR, baby.